Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
It is good to be a part. And when neither sun nor stars, in verse number 20 of chapter 27 of the book of Acts, in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island.'" Now, for the next few moments, I need you to preach with me. Will you do so? Let's walk in the word. Let's talk about, "For I believe God." For I believe God. One more time, would you lift your hearts and hands and minds to God right now and praise? Father, I pray that you would baptize us with your Spirit, anoint us, God. I pray, God, that you are glorified, and we, your people, for your name's sake, God, would do so in our living, in our life, with our voice, everything that we are. And I pray the captive would be set free, that the dead would be raised to life, and there would be this surrender and submission to you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are alive, and you are hope, and you are everything that we need, and I trust in you, God. I pray, anoint me and anoint this people. Lord, we love you. Baptize us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Now be kind to 3 to 4 people nearby you. Amen. Compliment them. Say something good. Encourage them. Amen. You can do this. Amen. Now one more time. Amen. Would you lift your voice in praise to God? God, I worship you and I magnify you, holy God. How great you are. How worthy. Come on, with your voice, let it be known. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. In Jesus' name, I worship you, God. I glorify you. Amen. It was to the young Timothy that the elder Paul told him to put things into the remembrance of those that he was reaching and that he was preaching to. If you would, please. Of these things, put them in remembrance, 2 Timothy. Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. His first charge was to remind those in front of him who it was that they believed in, right? Jesus Christ. Right. And what it was they believed, the words, the doctrine, the gospel that they had received. And then his charge was to not let there be strife about words to no profit, meaning don't let there be debate and division over the word, the doctrine, the hope that has been given to you. Don't let there be a debate about it. Don't let there be a division, a strife about it. For he warned that in so doing, that through and by that debate, there would be the subverting of the hearers. Are you following me right now in the word? If there was the debate of the doctrine, if there was the debate of what had been delivered, if there was the splitting of hairs, if you would, if there was the constant discrediting and denial of what had been delivered to them, who Jesus Christ was and what they believed, the doctrine, the hope that had been given to them, that ultimately through that debate, there would be the subverting of the hearers. In other words, people would be subverted. They would get lost and fall into ruin and lose sight of the saving of their soul ultimately. There was and there is the constant need, hear me today, there was and there is the constant need to be reminded, to rehearse again and again what we are doing, what we are living, what we believe in, and who we believe in. It calibrates when we rehearse these things. Preach with me for a while. I feel the word of God today. That's why I'm preaching right now. When we rehearse these things, when we remind ourselves of these things, when I get in this pulpit and I read this word again, when we go through it and we teach it, it calibrates the compass of our soul. It sets the mark and measured pace of our life to reach to its ultimate goal of the saving of our soul. It is not just the entertainment value that often we put church to, but it is the saving of our soul, what we are doing here today. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just the mentality of church, but it's about allowing my soul to come back to the place, to the recognition by the repetition and the rehearsing of what I'm doing right now, that I must be saved and you must be saved. To the seasoned saint, it's the service after service that you have been faithful to. It's the chapter and verse of the word that you have read and reread again and again, that as Simon Peter said, it stirs up our pure mind by way of remembrance. Yes. It's the songs that we sing repeatedly that affirm and celebrate the faith and the hope that we have. Yes. We are reminding ourselves. We are reminding one another. We are rehearsing it. We remember, and thereby, by that remembrance, we are assured and we are not subverted. We are not lost. We are reminded by the lines, and we are reminded by the marks of life. We survive. We don't debate it. We stay steady on the course that is set before us because we remember. Those were, in essence, the words said by Paul to all those in the vessel with him. While caught and struggling in a storm for days, there had been no sun or stars that could be seen, he said. It was not a small, short storm. That they were in. It had lasted long, and it was soon realized by the duration of what had been that all hope was gone. But in the night, Paul said that there stood, walk with me for a moment now, yes. That Paul said that there stood by me an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, yes. Saying, fear not. It is in the storm, hear me someone today, it is in the storm, in the most challenging and chaotic moments of your life, that you need to know whose you are and who it is that you serve.
Yes.
Because it's in those days that seem the most unstable and uncomfortable that you have to have an anchor point that is greater than the tempest that is around you. Something in God, hear me right now, something in God that is greater, that's higher than the waves and the wind that's coming against you. And it must be that his word speaks to you louder than all the voices and the volume of what is coming against you. Greater than the sound of the wind and the storms, the waves and all the calamity and the chaos that comes into your life. Hear me right now. Our ability to survive and stand in storms is in direct proportion to our ability to hear and to know and to understand and to accept and respond to the word of God. Because I will tell you today, this is more than just emotionalism. This is more than just a chill bump running up and down my spine. This is more than just something that I feel when I get here. That is something that is deep within the recesses of my soul and my heart that I'm reminded of because I believe and I know and I stand on the word of God. That even if the storm tries to tell me otherwise, I know in whom I have believed. If I cannot see it, if I don't understand it, if I can't feel it, still I know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on, somebody, clap your hands right now.
Hallelujah! Glory, Jesus. Come on. Glory.
Paul could have. He could have cited the lack of sun and stars to the angel. He could have. He could have looked at that angel in the night and told him all the days that had been spent in the storm, the miserable conditions of the moment. He could have debated back in his flesh. He could have tried to dicker with the angel and tell him how he wanted it to be. But instead, he simply took him at his word. Fear not. At some point, you are going to have to stop letting the storm tell you who you are and tell the storm who your God is.
Come on.
At some point, you're going to have to talk back to what's talking to you.
Come on.
You're going to have to articulate what you believe and how you have believed and how you're still going to believe it. No matter what your mind says, no matter what the world says, no matter what anybody else is, you're going to have to look at it and say, I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my heart. He told me. He promised me. I'm going to believe it. Nothing's going to shake me from it.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 68, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he does send out his voice, and that, come on somebody, and that a mighty voice. Can I tell someone here today that God is above your storm? He is higher than the highest thing coming against you. His voice is, come on, his voice is louder. As a matter of fact, it's a mighty voice. Stop being timid about it, because God's not timid about it right now. Don't retreat in fear, but stand up and recognize that God's got a mighty voice in your life. There's something loud being said. There's something with volume over everything else that seems to have the volume around you. It was what Paul said next. Pull that up, if you would please, that next service. It was what Paul said next that's so interesting. Look at this. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Now, he already said this twice prior to this, but then this third time he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Now here they are in the middle of a storm that has lasted for days, no sun, no stars, just storm clouds, constant. Certain peril, seemingly no hope around them. When Paul says, be of good cheer, we're going to be cast upon a certain island. Now, that was going to be, I got to be honest with you, when I started to type this out this last week, that was going to be the title of this message. But I thought I might lose some of you from the very beginning if I said it. Be of good cheer, we're going to crash. I don't know about you, but every time I walk on a plane, some of you guys that fly all the time, God bless you, I love you, I don't like it. I don't like flying. It's not, you know, I'll do it because it gets you there quickly, that kind of thing. But flying in an aluminum tube, you know, at 30-some thousand feet, there's only one way to go, right? And so every time I get on the plane, I always, when I'm walking in, they probably think there's something wrong with that guy. Maybe you do it too. I don't know. I don't know how many germs are on that plane. But every time I'm walking in, I always put my hand on that plane and pray in Jesus' name. Right. Anybody else do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I figure everybody in that plane is going to be saved because of me.
Right.
Because I got a hold of God. So I want to look, I want to walk down the aisle. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
Yes.
You know, it's fine. Yes. I'll put on my earphone, start listening to Carrie Job, and man, I'm in heaven, one way or the other. And so, and I've always prayed that we were flying over in Ukraine some years back, and I remember we landed, and it was a rough landing. I mean, it was like we bounced all the way down, and I looked out the window, and literally, there was a graveyard the entire length of the runway. And I thought, well, that's not. And then when we finally got stopped, you know, everybody clapped. Like, we made it. I've always hoped that when I got on a plane, that the pilot didn't get on and say, I hope you enjoy your flight. Everybody be happy. We're going to crash. Nobody wants to hear that, right? But that's what Paul was doing here. Paul was looking at all these guys in this boat and he said, I need everybody to be happy. We're going to shipwreck. We're going to crash. Here was this great paradox offered by Paul. We're going to crash. We're going to be, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. Pretty painful, but I want you to be happy about it. That's what Paul was saying. You're not going to like what you're going to have to go through. It's not going to feel good. It may not make much sense. You may feel like you're going to die, but be of good cheer because it's going to be all right if you stay in the boat. The construct of God's promise may seem weak. It may seem weathered, even imperfect. I mean, we may even want to abandon the means by which he is taking us. But it is often only by that means and through the vehicle of faith, even in the midst of a storm, that we can ultimately make it through.
Wow.
This is a difficult concept for us to understand because we want to go around the storm. We want to go over and under it some way. We want to avoid the conflict. We want to get away from the problem. We don't want to have to suffer. We don't want to deal with the pain. We want everything to be okay. We want smooth sailing, but that may not be the will of God, and the will of God for your salvation may be straight through the middle of the storm. And it could be that you suffer shipwreck.
Right.
Amen. His ability to be of good cheer, even in the face of a coming calamity, was found in those four words. For I believe God. That's what he was anchored to. There was still wind, there was still waves, there was still storm going on. You know, everybody understand what I'm saying right now? Everybody up here with me. The storm didn't change at that particular point. They were still in the midst of all that was happening. But he looked at them, and by those four words, there was something that anchored, that was not in the water, that was not in the land, it was not in the wind or the waves, but it was in his faith and his hope that he had in God. I believe God. When you are in a crisis, when life is not fair, sickness may be staggering, trouble may be making you to tremble, you and I have to make up our mind that we are simply going to believe God.
Yes.
Amen. That what we know and what we have read and what we have taught and that Sunday school lesson that was rehearsed to us again and again through the years that planted deep within us, that we are going to believe God no matter what the circumstance may be that's in front of us. You have to believe the promise. You have to believe that the promise that he gave you is going to happen. That the promise that he gave you, that you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, it's going to happen. That you're going to come out of that sin and you're going to be okay. And you're going to go through that trial and it's going to be all right. And no matter how much you fear, amen, God's greater than your fears. That even though we can't see sun or star, your vision may be bleak and blurry, you may be still in the storm, we still just simply have to believe God.
Yes.
We don't stop praying even though we can't see the hope. We don't stop praying and believing and being faithful to God even though we can't feel it. Amen. There have been many a times, hear me, there have been many a times that I have walked to this pulpit, I have entered the doors of this church and I did not feel God. I did not see the answer. I did not know what he was doing, and I did not understand, nor did I like the way that it was going. But still, I walked to the pulpit. I got to the pew. I went to the prayer rooms. When the songs began to sing, I lifted my hands. I sung along with them, and I stayed faithful. Why? Because there's something about understanding that even if you are in the midst of the storm, you don't believe in the storm. You believe in the God of the storm. Huh. Too often we trust more in our word or the word of another in this world than we do in the promise and the provision of God. We are more taken with what people say than we are with what God has said. Look at this, Psalms 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Somebody, it's settled in heaven. If his word is settled in heaven, no storm in or on earth can unsettle it or unseat it. If he's given you a promise in his word, come on, somebody, you need to hang on to it. You need to repeat it daily. You need to rehearse it. You need to remember it. You need to stir up your mind and your spirit with it daily. Here was the contingency. Come on, I'm moving along quickly. Paul said this. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. You want to be saved? I recognize the simplicity of what I'm saying today. You want to be saved? You have to stay in the ship. The vehicle that God chose, you have to stay there. There must be the cutting off of the constant escape routes that your flesh wants to go back to. Do you understand that? Paul looked at them and said, if you stay here, everything's going to be okay. And so what did they do? They cut it off. They cut the ropes off. Wow. There was no escape. There was no retreat. There was no going back. They couldn't find a way out, away from it. You have to stay faithful to where he has you. Abandonment can be the same as denial.
Wow.
When we abandon the place that God has us in, when we abandon the place that God has put us for a purpose ultimately that we do not see, that when we do so, when we abandon that place, it can be that we are denying the faith that God has rested in us to take us through the storm and to bring us to where we ultimately need to be for salvation in him. Because sometimes the vehicle that we are in, the means of salvation, the construct of what God is doing may not be comfortable to my flesh, but it is needful for my soul. Are you understanding this? You got to stay faithful. Look at this. Jonah said this. They'd observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. What are you going to listen to? I ask you today. What are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? What are you going to believe in? In whom are you going to believe? For if we choose not to believe the thing that God offers to save us, we forsake the mercy that has been given to us. If we choose not to believe this book, if we choose not to believe the promise planted deep within us, then we are forsaking the mercy that God has ultimately given us to be saved by. Your answer is still here where you first found it. Hear me, somebody, I'm trying to tell you today. Your answer is still here where you first found it. He has not changed just because the storm keeps trying to change you. Because that's the nature of a storm. The nature of the storm wants to change the landscape of life. It wants to cut away. It wants to erode away the things that you have learned to depend upon. That's the nature of storms. They leave something terrible in their path. They leave destruction. But hear me, if you are anchored in something deeper. And the soldiers' counsel. I'm moving along quickly here. Next verse. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ships. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. It was the promise given to Paul. This is important to know here. I need everybody to hear these last few comments. It was important to know that the promise given to Paul and his believing God was the thing that saved the rest of them. Your belief, your stand, hear me, Father. Hear me, Mother, right now. Your stand, your belief, your staying could be the thing that saves those around you, those you care about, and those who care about you that are affected by the storm. You have to stay in the faith. For your promise could be found through the means of a promise given to someone else. Do you understand this? Some prisoner was saved by the promise given to Paul.
Praise God.
You got to get near people of faith.
Yes.
Because sometimes the very thing that's going to save you is not necessarily the promise that was given to you, but it was the promise given to somebody else.
Wow.
And thereby you put yourself in a proximity with them.
Come on.
And because the promise was given to them, you are saved by the promise that has been given in their life.
Wow.
For you to walk along with them until you get your revelation.
Right.
You following this? Let me tell you something, parent and father, mother in this house, and grandparent and elder saint, your life that you live is not in vain. You might think nobody's watching you. You might think nobody's like, come on, parent, your kid's not here today. They're out there living a life that they should not be living. I believe it. Brother Cooper, we've talked about it many times, that through the sin of water, though that tree be cut down, though that stump be in the ground, though it's waxing old, that through the sin of water, it will live again. What you are living, what you are believing, the promise. Amen. Sometimes you've got to walk along with somebody that's got a promise that is greater than what you're feeling right now in the storm, because it could be their faith, their prayer life, their faithfulness that leads you ultimately where you can find your own faith, your own promise, your own prayer life that you can be saved by. Amen. Musicians. Amen. You have to stay because somebody's depending on you and you're depending on somebody else. Some are clinging to boards. Some are holding on to broken pieces of what was left. But everybody was saved. Huh. I don't know how many times I have heard the preached word of God. And it seemed to be just a broken plank of what I was going through. But I held on. I got to something, I got to a promise in my heart, and I believed God. I kept reading it and I read it again. I remembered it, and thereby I was not subverted. I got up, as a matter of fact, I'm doing it right now. I get up in the morning time and I read the same scripture that I read before I went to bed that night before. And you know what I'm going to do tonight? Because I read it this morning. I'm going to read it again. Why? Because I'm going to stir up my mind to remember that God is faithful. That he will never let you down. Come on, somebody. You got to cling to something. Take hold of the promise that he's given you, the word that he spoke to you at the start of the storm. It will be faithful all the way through the storm. Come on, somebody stand up and begin to worship God right now with me all over this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may feel broken. It may feel battered, but hold on. Come on, you got to believe God. You got to cry out the prayer of David. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. You got to cast your hope on him because he will never, ever fail you. Come on, somebody pray with me right now. Somebody that's been questioning and wondering what you should do. Come on, you need to believe God right now. No matter what the storm's telling you, you need to believe God. No matter how loud it is, God needs to be more mighty in his voice in your life right now. Stop being timid about it. God's not timid against the enemy. You need to come against him in the name of the Lord. Come against that storm, that trial, that problem, that circumstance. God is greater. You got to believe in him. Come on, right now, you need to be stepping out of that pew and walking down to this altar. Come and repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the moment where you decide, God, I'm going to believe in you. No matter what anybody says, no matter what the world says, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be in dismay. I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm not going to walk out. I'm going to trust in God. Come on, you're struggling with your health, your mind, your life, your family, your home. Your answer's not out there. Don't get outside the ship. Don't get outside the vessel that God's meaning to take you to heaven through. Come on, have faith today. Stop looking down. Look up today. Stop being defeated. Have hope in God. Stop thinking that it's all lost. Amen. It's all saved. Amen. There's hope in God. You've been praying the prayer. God's heard every one of them. Keep praying.
We're so glad that you tuned into today's message. While we hope that you were ministered to, we also believe in being connected to a local church. Our desire is that this ministry would supplement and not substitute the vision cast by the leadership that God has placed in your life. You can support us by leaving us a review, and for additional information, visit thefamilylife.org.